looking for a woman who beat an elderly woman with her own cane. Here's a story from Scott Pringle.
Police say the mother and 71-year-old victim were waiting to enter the elevator to leave the 2nd Avenue subway at East 86th Street Monday. They say the mother's child rushed into the elevator when the older woman said, maybe you should teach your child to wait for people to leave first. Well, the mother apparently didn't like that. She allegedly punched and slapped the woman, took her own cane and whacked her with it. Detectives have released a pretty clear surveillance picture of the mother. Scott Pringle, New York.
Nike is unveiling a sports hijab for Muslim female athletes. The sports and apparel giant says its pro hijab is similar to other Nike Pro products, but features a single-layer power mesh that's both lightweight and non-transparent. Nike says the headgear has strategically placed holes for better breathability. USA Radio News.
Did you know that 1 in 5 people are affected by mental illness? NAMI Hunterdon is the locally affiliate for NAMI, the National Alliance on Mental Illness. We are all volunteers, and all our programs are free of charge. We offer Family to Family, a 12-week course for families that have an adult member with a mental illness. Another popular program is In Our Own Voice, where individuals who are living with mental illness discuss their challenges and their progress in overcoming those challenges. Another course we offer is Basics, a 6-week course for families with a child or an adolescent who has experienced mental illness. We also have a monthly support group for families on the third Thursday of every month. Please call NAMI Hunterdon at 908-284-0500 for more information about any of our programs or to join. NAMI Hunterdon, the voice for mental health in Hunterdon County.
Good afternoon. This is Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. Hope you're having a great day. It is already the 8th of March, and if you happen to be in the Hunterdon County area today, I'm going to give you an update on the forecast. Mostly clear with a low around 39 tonight. West wind 10 to 18 miles per hour with gusts as high as 34 miles per hour. Mostly sunny on Thursday with a high near 55. Chance of rain after 8 p.m. on Thursday night, mixing with snow after 4 a.m. Mostly cloudy with a low around 31. Rain and snow likely again before 1 p.m. on Friday. Then a chance of rain between 1 and 4 p.m. Then a chance of rain and snow again after 4 p.m. Mostly cloudy with a low of 38. Chance of snow before 7 p.m. on Friday night. And then a slight chance of snow with showers between 7 and 8. Partly cloudy with a low around 18 on Friday night. Then mostly sunny all day on Saturday with a high of 30 and partly cloudy with a low of 18 on Saturday night. Partly sunny again with a high of 33 on Sunday. Partly cloudy with a low about 20 Sunday night. Then mostly sunny again with a high of 39 on Monday. So we're going to go to our quick break here on Talented People. Again, I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest in studio today is Bart Jackson. He is the voice of the Art of the CEO Radio, publisher of Prometheus Books, and so much more. So we're going to learn about his recent trip to Tasmania. We'll be right back. Stay with us.
Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. Let me repeat. Lose 20 to 40 pounds in 40 days, guaranteed. This is not a crazy diet or exercise program. No drugs, hormones, or shots. You can lose 20 to 45 pounds in 40 days with Nutrimost Resonant Frequency Technology to measure 2,800 of your body's key biomarkers. Use Using NRF, they can find and correct the cause of your weight problem by measuring factors affecting weight gain, including metabolism, fat burning, fat storage, appetite, detoxification, and hormonal regulation. It's safe, fast, easy, and effective, and you won't walk around hungry or have cravings. It's even doctor supervised. Schedule body composition analysis and consultation. You can be transformed in 40 days guaranteed. This is a limited time offer, so they can't wait to see you look great.
So call 888-718-7077. That's 888-718-7077. Or visit njthin.com. That's njthin.com.
All right, welcome back to our show. This is Talented People streaming live across the nation from the Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce studio in Flemington, New Jersey. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest today is one of my best friends, one of my dear, dear friends. His name's Bart Jackson. He's been on the show several times over the years, always got a lot to say. He is, again, the publisher of a line of leadership books under Bart's Books on the web, or if you look up Prometheus Publishing, and he hosts a radio show, a very popular radio show called The Art of the CEO. So today we're going to have Bart in to talk to us about his recent trip to Tasmania. Welcome to the show.
Oh, GD, it is always good to be back here among friends, from particularly when I come back from wanderings, and to see your smiling face. Also, as I stand here and look past you, which is difficult to do, I'm viewing an Ionic column, which is the great Greek stature, the idea of the voice of democracy, which I think so suitably fits the new Hunterdon County Chamber building. For after all, through commerce comes democracy. That is good, honest, solid commerce and hardworking people. Life is to praise, love, and labor.
So that's so great. Everybody out there should know that Bart is like so right picking up on this, because we've been telling everybody about our move into this building that's been happening for like the last month. It's a beautiful building, isn't it?
Oh, it isn't, but I have watched my wife move her library 3 times, and I want you to know there is something wonderful about the frenzy of everybody else working, unless, of course, you're responsible.
I know. We love it, though. We love the columns, and I love it how you tie this into your story of your recent travels. You just got back this week, right?
Just got back from a month in Tasmania, and it is heavenly. But I want to start out to you listening out there. I have just gone over my bills, and again, I have proven to myself, if there's no reason why you should not travel to where you want to go, I have, if you can swing the airfare, you can swing the trip. Now, we didn't backpack, as we often do. We didn't live on the cheap. We drank exquisite wines. Or at least I think so. My memory's a blur. Anyway, we had a great time. But my point is that we spent not much more than if we had just stayed at home and done our regular expenses. So there I pass it on to you, my friends. Do throw that dart at the globe and go on out there.
Well, talk about that. You've been to how many countries and over your
70,
travel?
80, something like that.
80 countries.
That's
incredible.
We've been very fortunate. But we decided when we were young, my good wife Lorraine and I, decided that, yes, we were going to travel now, not wait till we were part of the lame halt, and we were not going to see Athens in a walker. We were we went when we were young, and we have had a great time traveling all over the globe, and I heartily, heartily recommend we all do it. And you are going to see that all those people that you meet out there are absolutely wonderful, great individuals, and there is nothing more in the world that destroys bias than the friends you meet abroad. But moving on, you had asked me to blither endlessly, or succinctly, about the trip to Tasmania. Mm-hmm. And so let me just tell you, first of all, Tasmania hangs like a teardrop from the southwest tip of Australia, like a great jewel in an Aborigine's ear. It shines on an imperial blue sea.
Wow.
186 miles across the Bass Strait, right off of mainland Australia. It's about 26,000 miles. It's a little smaller than England.
Okay.
But it has 500,000 souls only. And this is the home of rugged individualism. Rugged individualism. Imagine, if you will, supposing you collected into one island a host of wild, risk-all speculators, gold rush runners, like that, and then you add to that prisoners, convict labor, who were suddenly given their first taste of freedom after the sentence and their heirs, and then wrap around that island a batch of companies that are the shipping risk takers from Europe and the U.S. and everywhere. Imagine what kind of thrilling entrepreneurial spirit you'd have. Well, it ain't a case study. It's Tasmania. And
really?
It's a marvelous place, yes.
So tell us all about it.
Okay. Well, let me first just say, walk you through a rainforest. Now, you come with me. You have just stopped at, we'll say Cradle Mountain. And this is on the west side of Tasmania, where all the rain sweeps down, so it's moist. and wet. And you walk in. The weather, by the way, it's summer there, but all year round, the weather is milder than New Jersey.
Really?
Yeah, it's only 2,800 miles from the South Pole, but it is very mild. And you walk through the rainforest, and you see huge batwing ferns all surrounding you, about 12 feet high, forming a canopy. Through them is poking enormously wide eucalyptus and hewan pine trees, 200 feet tall.
Really?
50 feet tall.
Wow.
Moss covers everything. And you, if you don't stand still too long, and you get up and you're walking on this trail, you hear a waterfall coming down beside you and brooks all over, and you see trees tilting, and you see new life coming out of the old logs that have gone before. And so if you've ever asked yourself, what enchants a forest?
Really?
These are enchanted forests. And why? I finally figured it out. What makes a forest like this enchanted is that the line between life and death is blurred. There is that which the old, which feeds the new, and all begins one with another. And you feel the force of life from everywhere with no end.
So that's incredible. I'm like totally into it. Wait, hold on. Have you been there before?
I've never been to Tasmania.
Oh, before. Wow. I'm like so into this. Okay, so we have to go to our first break. It's already 3:14. Perfect timing because I'm like all into this enchanted forest and the rainforest and everything you're talking about, the beginning and the end. So I'm Jeannie Murphy, this Talented People. You can hear my storyteller, professional, Mr. Everything, I've got to say, Bart Jackson. I just love him. All right, so stay with us. We'll be right back.
Let Stowaway Self-Storage be your local moving and storage solution. With three great locations in Hunterdon County, Stowaway is conveniently located in Flemington, White House, and Lebanon. Stowaway Self-Storage offers sizes from 5x5 to 50x50, discounted packing supplies, and U-Haul rentals on site. Affordable monthly rentals for your personal and business use, let Stowaway help you park your car in the garage again or store those old records that you need to keep. Visit us at stowawayselfstorage.com and mention this ad to receive 50% off your first month's rent. Hey, this is Big C of Good Morning Hunterdon on HuntingChamberRadio.com. Like what you hear on Hunterdon Chamber Radio? Now you can take it with you. Download our Hunterdon Chamber Radio app from iTunes and Google Play Store now. Get schedules, station information, listen live, or to the latest podcasts. Everything in the palm of your hand or in your car during your commute. Get the HuntingChamberRadio.com app today.
This is Tony Clark, Parrot Planner at Patton Heidi & Associates. Americans believe they should be in charge of their own future, how they will live tomorrow. Since 1894, Ameriprise Financial has worked for their clients' futures, helping millions of Americans retire on their terms. When they want, where they want, doing what they want. Today, Patton Heidi & Associates, a financial advisory practice of Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., remains true to the vision of always putting clients first. We are ready to help you put a confident retirement more within reach. Put the strength of a leader in retirement planning to work for you through a personal one-to-one relationship. Patton Heidi & Associates will work with you to develop a plan to help you pursue your retirement goals. Call today at 908-713-6600. Office is located at 1318 Route 31 North, Annandale, New Jersey. Investment advisory products and services are made available through Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., a registered investment advisor, Ameriprise Financial Services, Inc., member FINRA and SIPC.
Okay, welcome back. I'm going to put a little shout out to our friend Carol Ezzo out there that we love and love working with. And she's laughing and telling us about how I hit it right by calling Bart a storyteller there. So, yes, thank you. I agree with you totally. And I want to get right back into it. So,
well, I must admit, Jeannie, having been married 40 years, every husband who is, becomes an exquisite storyteller. Right. And coming up that, I've begun to work on my taxes. And if you think my stories are creative, what do you say that for? Anyway, moving on to the mainstream of this evening's symposium, where I wanted to imagine, we've talked about the rainforest. It's a volcanic isle also. And from the mantle below all up on the crust of the earth have seeped gold, silver, zinc, tin, all the valuable metals. So, and as I say, this is what brings the prospectors and great gold rushes. Now imagine what kind of people you would meet. And I'm going to give you one great big business difference between the States and Tasmania. People, and this is more true with young people, sadly, in America, they say, I am a marketer. I am a programmer. I am an engineer. Think what you're doing there. You are taking some past success you've had. I've done some good marketing, and so you say, this is what I do. This is, and then you're saying to people, this is who I am. This is what I call the shark fin mode of business. You take one little piece of the fin of you and throw the rest of you away. Very tragic. In Tasmania, nobody does that. Yeah. I mean, if you ask them what they do, they say, I chase particularly attractive women. They'll say anything. And because everyone there finds a way to get by. It is the endless entrepreneurial system. So I'm walking down the Cascade Gorge, and it's not that I don't know where I am. I'm not lost. I just have no idea where I'm going. And so, and to do this as an old veteran hiker, I know that what you're supposed to do is double your pace when you're totally lost. Double your pace and hope for an outcome. Not bright, but a habit of mine. So I'm walking along, and along comes.
Were you by yourself?
No, actually, I had two friends who were just as stupid as I was. I had Alan, who was a musician and a statistician, whose favorite words are. Whose favorite phrase is, when all else fails, manipulate the data. And I was with his wife, Lillian,
so funny.
Who is, when this, she's a nurse, and when this klutz fell off the mountain, she's able to bandage him. But much more important, Lillian is one of these people who has a charm that and a happiness that is able to soothe over and bandage all the tensions that go along.
Wow, well, you need that.
You need that on a trip, you do indeed. Mm-hmm. Anyway, so the three of us are pledging along, trying desperately to go. And along comes Bill. Now, picture a slightly more muscular but Crocodile Dundee.
Okay.
And he walks. You know a guy who walks well when he leans forward from his waist as he walks, because he has the goal ahead of him, and he has the calm confidence of a Christian with four aces. And he is walking down, and he comes up, and he says, you know, good day, how are you? And I say, yeah, we're fine, and we start chatting. Bill has spent his life loving the outdoors, so he has found ways to be a guide. He worked for a school for a while. He worked for outing things. And he says, I had to get out today. Just had to get out. I spent 3 days planning this. And I said, what? And he says, I'm teaching a group of people how to survive in the Arctic. And I said, and you're going to go down there and train? He says, no, I'm training them here. It'll be good for them. And so we wander on. And Bill tells us the whole series of jobs that he does to make his life do what it wants to do. And if you ask Bill what his career is, he would scratch his head, and so would I. Think about that. Now, Bill did, by the way, show us the right path, which is why I'm here today.
Thank God.
Rather than bouncing down some river. And then you meet other people. Here's one. Now, I talked about the miners. That there was a lot of mining that went on in there. There are towns like Derby, which was the tin capital of the world for a while.
Really?
And they came in, and prospectors from all over. Something very interesting. Chinese prospectors came in great numbers. And they'd either buy a mine, if they could scrape the cash, or they'd become what they called a tributer, which is like a sharecropper. You know, you bring out your wheelbarrow, and the mine owner takes some, and you get away with the rest, and da-da-da. And it was beautiful. But what happens to mines? Well, they peter out, you know. So what does the little town of Derby do? Well, Derby looks around, and it says, we have hills here. We're on the volcanic slopes. And the roads and the trails are almost, but not quite, impossible to ride a bike on. people do when you watch them in the granny gear. That's that very lowest gear. And they're churning away and they're struggling. And they said, we're going to make this into the bicycle capital.
Oh.
And so, in
fact, good.
Enduros 2017 is coming there. And this is a little rule for anyone who has a business that is starting, that wants to start a new venture. It Boulder, Colorado, is the bicycle capital, really unofficially, of the U.S. Filled with stores. You walk in the store and say, we got it. We got everything you need here. Take it, buy it, get out. Boom, good grass commercialism. Go to Derby, Little Derby, Tasmania, and you see beautiful old penny farthing bicycles, tandems, all kinds of things, hanging from lampposts above doors. Little museums, they have a substantial museum, little explanations. They've transformed the town. The town gets behind it. And so you go there, even if you don't ride, it's a place of interest.
That's so interesting.
And that's the difference.
Sounds so, like you did need a month to be there just to check everything out.
Yeah. And so I'm wandering in this place is called, and I pull open a door. I see an ice box of beer. So naturally, I pull open the door. And there are two little kids. There's some beds all off in the corner. Two little kids. And Paul and Kate Gag, they're starting a bicycle place called The Hub. They heard about this, came down here, started the business,
wow.
Or are starting the business, and he was in IT before, and I forget what she did, but she rode a lot of bikes, and they said, we're going to start this store. And so they'll rent out bicycles and so forth, but they also have restaurants, pizza, beer, and so forth that you can come afterwards. In other words, nothing is, we sell bikes, we do this. No, they're thinking of the people who come through, and they say, how can I serve you?
Wow.
And
it's like a journey.
I'm at a B&B.
Right.
In a place called Quambi, and...
Did you stay at the same place the whole time?
No. What we did, really the only way to tour Tasmania is by bicycle if you're really hardy, or by car. There are some tours, but they're buses. There's no public transportation. I suppose you could kayak around it. My friend Terry Baller did, but that's one in a million. Anyway, the people who are in this town... They all get behind it, and this is the lesson they really want. They want the people to be there. And I'm at this B&B, and there on the wall of the B&B is a quote that says, "The customer is not an annoyance to your day. You are not doing him an honor by serving him. He is doing you a great honor by allowing you to help him."
That's so cool. Yourself. Did you get a picture of that?
I certainly did, but it was said by Mahatma Gandhi.
Oh, wow.
And I love
wow.
it. And it so represents what goes on there. Anyway, and I want everyone also to know that I'm not saying it's not all black and white. There are people in the States who have this sort of do all the whatever works, the many jobs put together. One of them is Jeannie Murphy. Many of you probably know her as the radio host who makes other people look good.
Aww.
But this gal knows how to do PR because she knows what the people want. And I have to tell you, they ain't nothing she won't try.
Aww.
So I pass that on to
you.
So there are folks like that here. It's just the spirit that we could adopt a little more of as a society.
That's adorable. Thank you. I appreciate that. Also, perfect time for our break because it's already time for the news and weather. If you're listening along, that's Bart Jackson. Again, he's the host of a very successful radio program called The Art of the CEO. And then he's a book publisher. He's traveled to over 80 countries. He's just done everything, and I just adore him. And he's sharing his story just back from Tasmania this week with us. So we're going to go to the news and weather. We'll be right back. Stay with us on Talented People. Thanks for listening.
The Hunterdon County Chamber of Commerce is proud to present HunterdonChamberRadio.com. All business, all talk, all community. Bringing you local news, information, events, and informative programming. Proudly serving the businesses and residents of Hunterdon County, New Jersey.
Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I've been working on this for 20 years. This is exciting. This is what we've been dreaming about doing, and we know it's going to make a positive difference in people's lives in this country.
House Speaker Paul Ryan is touting the GOP replacement for Obamacare.
It repeals the Obamacare taxes, which is a massive tax relief for families. It repeals the Obamacare spending, like the Medicaid expansion and Obamacare subsidies. It repeals the Obamacare mandates on individuals and businesses. It ends funding for Planned Parenthood and sends that money to community health centers. It has a Medicaid per capita block grant. That's the biggest entitlement reform anybody has seen here for decades.
The National Transportation Board on site in Biloxi, Mississippi, at the site of a crash between a train and a bus, NTSB's Robert Zumwalt.
I think this one is particularly of concern to us because there was another accident right here at the same grade crossing.
USA Radio News.
Oh, we've got to figure out a way to save energy, babe. Our heating bills are crazy.
See this?
Whoa, what's that? A new remote?
It is. Yeah. Budget Blinds was here this morning and installed these motorized shades in the kitchen. Come here, watch.
So I just sit here, they open, they close. This is really very cool.
Yeah, Budget Blinds comes in and measures, then they install everything. Oh, you didn't have to lift a finger, right?
Hey, I like that almost as much as the remote, but we were talking about saving energy.
Yes, right. See, the shades are also on a timer.
A timer?
You program the timer to open them in the morning and let the sun in, then close in the evening to keep in the warmth.
Maybe we should do the rest of the house.
What a great idea, honey.
Right now, during Budget Blinds Luxury Within Reach event, motorized window coverings are more affordable than ever. The more you buy, the more you save, with savings up to $2,000. Hurry and call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now, before this offer ends, or go online to budgetblinds.com. Don't miss out. Call 855-BUDGET-BLINDS now. Offer good on select products at participating independently owned and operated franchises. Restrictions may apply. Ask for details.
Dry conditions in the Midwest leading to a series of wildfires that have destroyed multiple homes. Chris Barnes has more detail.
There's nowhere to run, and there's plenty of grass left to burn.
That's a man in Woodward, Oklahoma, where one of several wildfires has destroyed his home. More than 20 Oklahoma counties now under a state of emergency. This man also lost his home to the flames.
We waited, and when it finally cleared, we went back, and the whole place was just burnt. The siding's melted off of the house.
At least one person's died from the fires in Oklahoma. Six people killed altogether by fires in Colorado, Kansas, and Texas as well. I'm Chris Barnes.
The popular Lake Mead National Recreation Area near Las Vegas tops a new list of deadly destinations. Outside Magazine ranks it as America's deadliest national park based on a recent count of fatalities over the last decade. Nearly 300 people died between 2006 and 2016 at Lake Mead, most of them through drowning. USA Radio News.
I'm Jay Farner, president of Quicken Loans. It's a great time to buy a home. Whether you're a first-time home buyer or an experienced one, Quicken Loans has options that may help you get pre-approved for a mortgage with as little as 1% down. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 4.18%, APR 4.35%. Call 800-QUICKEN today or go to quickenloans.com. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender. Licensed in all 50 states. NMLSconsumeraccess.org, number 3030.
The NYPD paying very close attention to the investigation into the death of a child one day after they came home from the hospital. Here's more on the story.
The baby was just 3 months old and lived with his foster family in South Ozone Park. He was treated for severe dehydration and kidney damage. One day later, he was dead. Janelle Johnson is a neighbor.
I think it's really tragic, you know, especially for someone that's that small.
Police rushed to the family's home after getting a 911 call Tuesday afternoon. No obvious signs of trauma. The city medical examiner is on the case. Sarah Lee Kessler, New York.
The son of the Democrats' former vice presidential candidate arrested. Here's the story from Mark Mayfield.
Linwood Michael Kane was arrested along with five other people on Saturday for allegedly disrupting a pro-Trump rally in St. Paul. Kane was arrested on suspicion of second-degree rioting, but the Ramsey County Attorney's Office decided not to prosecute due to insufficient facts to prove felony-level riot. Kane was released on Tuesday. In a statement, Senator Kane said, quote, "We love that our three children have their own views and concerns about current political issues."
The family of a California woman killed by a man who had been deported five times is demanding justice. Court records show Estuardo Alvarado had been deported to Mexico five times since 1998, most recently in 2011. He's now facing charges for the hit-and-run death of a young mother in L.A. The family says if the Obama administration had enforced immigration law, their loved one would be alive. USA Radio News.
All right. Welcome back to our show. I'm Jeannie Murphy, and my guest in studio is Bart Jackson, multi-time author, publisher, host of the Art of the CEO radio station, which is a really popular radio station, by the way. If you want to listen to some past archives of some of the like most amazing CEOs in the country, around the world for that matter, you can go right online, look up Art of the CEO, Bart Jackson, and then you could just get to the archives and listen to those stories.
Or you can go to the website, theartoftheceo.com.
Absolutely. That makes it even easier, right? All right, Bart, so you continue please telling us more about your trip to Tasmania. You just got back this week.
I'm really full of it. At least that's what they keep telling me, but they said that before I left. I'm full of enthusiasm about comes back from the travel.
A month away.
And, oh, incredible. That was, the sheer month of it was wonderful. But imagine, if you will, coming down from a mountain into a bay that looks like a wine glass. And on the bottom of that is smooth, sugar-white snow sand. And flooding into it is imperial blue, clear water. And with a slight meniscus as it laps onto the shore of Caribbean azure. And you run down there on the beach, which you have all alone. And you
really?
Sit down and run into the waves and surf. And it's a little chilly for some, but I love...
What was the temperature about?
The temperature, I would say, range, it was the air temperature. Now, this is this was about the equivalent of their September.
Oh, okay.
In other words, it was their summer. And the air ranged between 65 and 75. It was
perfect
for climbing and hiking and doing.
Right.
The water, depended where you are, it was I swam all and everything, but my wife, who's a lot more sensible, a homo sapien, swam at about 50% of them, so there you go. And if you go into one place called Mercury Bay, it's called Hell's Gate because it's a terrible piece of navigation, but also the real hell of it was the far tip of this, a place called Sarah Island. Now, Australia, as many of us know, was founded to a very large extent by convict labor. Between 1783 and 1856, they had over 100,000 convicts sent to Australia. And they were convicted of being poor, which is something that we seem to be adopting in this country. But it's Emily stole a coat at the beginning of winter and was sentenced to what they call the female factory, where they would be farmed out as slave labor maids. The Buds Ter, or they call Tarum.
Do they speak English?
Oh yeah, this is they're totally down there.
Okay.
But they drive on quote the wrong side of the road.
Yeah.
But the Tarum came from London and he stole bread. He was age 9, and so he could be sent to Australia. Anyway, we're on.
Wow.
We picked one little place called Sarah Island. It was the absolute worst place to be. They said, quote, found this as a place that all other convicts will fear to go. It was the ultimate prison. First of all...
You went there?
Oh, yeah, I went there. Not as a prisoner, by the
right.
way.
Right. You were just touring
despite,
right
now. Despite what my listeners may think, I was not a prisoner on this island.
So basically, do they still have these prisoners there?
All stopped in 1956. But here is a little moral lesson for everybody who wants to go. Most of the people, the convicts there were sent to work to make money for the various merchants and the crown and so forth. This was work camp, and they needed slave labor, so they would arrest them for stealing bread and ship them down. They sent the worst of the worst, the toughest of the tough, to Sarah Island. It was so bad, and they were supposed to make pine. They arrive on this island. It's nothing but, you know, like that rainforest that I was telling you?
Yeah,
that was there.
So enchanting.
It is, but you have to clear this. You have no shelter. You have to do this. They didn't have enough tools. The men were supposed to clear the forest with their leg chains. The commandant and the soldiers were the most sadistic bullies you can ever imagine. They developed a triple kind of cat-o'-nine-tails, 35 lashes of which would kill a man And at the same time, they doled out 50 and 100 lashes routinely. In 1 year, the 322 prisoners were given 9,100 lashes, and all the men had dysentery and scurvy, and because they didn't have enough food. Prisoners were killing fellow prisoners so they could be executed. It was that
bad. Oh, my God.
It was hell on earth.
Really?
Everybody, and the assistant surgeon called it the place of utmost depravity and woe. It was just deplorable. And then it started in 1822, and in 1828, the major shipwright from Scotland was sent there. An American entrepreneur came there together. They said, look, we're going to turn this place into something that would really work. And they got permission from Hobart, which is the capital of Tasmania and the commandant there. They came in, they started treating the prisoners well. They built a palace, a dorm-style palace for them. They gave them good food, they gave them medicine, they got everything fixed up. And all of a sudden, Sarah Island became one of the most productive shipbuilding ports in all Australia.
Wow.
So, a
story of employee engagement.
Right. Yes, that's it. So if you think that you can, that industrial slavery and say, oh, look, we're only paying them $2 a week to make these sneakers or make these T-shirts, son, you got it all wrong.
Wow, that is so interesting. How many years did it take for them to do that?
It took about 8.
That's amazing in itself. Because there's so much that you have had to consider.
And it really is. There's, and of course there's the wildlife in Tasmania. And I want to tell you about two animals because they're very human-like. They're anthropomorphic on the scale. On one end of the scale, of the ambition scale, let's call it, is the koala bear.
No.
The koala bear, you've seen him, Qantas puts him on, that little fuzzy-tipped bear. He's about 2 feet long and pudgy, and you can find him in the crotch of any convenient eucalyptus tree.
Really?
And he will spend 3 hours of this day eating eucalyptus leaves. Now, unfortunately, eucalyptus doesn't have much nutrition, so as a result, he'll eat 10% of his body weight in eucalyptus leaves and still be undernourished. So he rests. He will spend 3 hours eating. He'll spend 1 hour mating.
And, every day.
Yes, right. And that's his exercise because the other 20 hours are spent napping, sleeping all the time.
Sounds like a dream come true.
You have forgotten nothing on this guy.
Really?
On this bear. And you can see why Qantas would want to have that as the emblem and so forth.
That's so interesting.
The other end of the ambition scale is the Tasmanian devil. Also about 2 feet long.
I was
going to
ask you about that. Okay.
Picture, if you will, about 2 foot long, brown, lean, muscular bear with a huge jaw. And this, you know how lions hunt and they work together to teamwork? There is no teamwork among Tasmanian devils. They'll chew off the leg of a brother to get it the food. They push everyone out of the way. They will eat. And
sounds like what you described of the Sarah Island.
Yeah, right. And they will eat an entire wallaby, which is sort of a mini kangaroo that may come up to your navel, and they will eat the fur, the meat, the bones, everything, and devour it, and look around for more. So what's the story of these two? Well, actually, as it turns out, they're both endangered because there's another predator, and that's man.
Terrible.
They're not coming. We saw one glimpse in the wild.
Will they go after a human?
What's that? I'm sorry?
Go after a human?
No, they won't because they're very shy. They're actually much more scavengers than attackers. Mm-hmm. They will find, if they find a wallaby dead, they will just keep eating until it's gone. Now, imagine, in other words, a voracious appetite in which you'll devour more than is good for you at the expense of everybody else. Who's that sound like? Then the other is the koala bear, who I like the hour mating stuff. But anyway, and my wife likes the 20 hours of nap, so that gives an idea how our life goes. But anyway, that's I just thought I'd share
that. I love that. Oh, I'm learning so much. I'm sure our listeners are also enjoying your stories, your tales of your journey out to Tasmania. We're going to go to our quick break here on Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy. My guest is Bart Jackson. And then when we get back, you were going to share some other stories of businesses with our listeners. So stay with us here. We'll be right back.
Rab Coins of Flemington, New Jersey has been in business for over 37 years. We are highly competitive buyers of gold, silver, and platinum coins, jewelry, and scrap metals, and have recently been named the exclusive gold buyer for Diamond Nation and HealthQuest. We also provide professional appraisal, sales, and liquidation services for individuals, law firms, estate trustees, and bank trust departments in New Jersey and Philadelphia. Products and services include gold and silver, American and foreign coins, certified rare date and modern coins, numismatic supplies and books, gold, silver, and platinum bullion, paper currency, United States proof, and mint sets, including current issues. From junior collector to the experienced investor, Rab Coins has been for numismatists since 1974. Founder and owner, Randy Block, an expert numismatist, has been an active member of the coin industry for over 45 years. Visit us at 56 Main Street in historic downtown Flemington or call toll-free 1-800-819-9875.
At Crown Trophy of Flemington, we have thousands of products for you to choose from. Whether you're looking for trophies, plaques, or corporate awards, Crown Trophy of Flemington is your one-stop shop. We feature acrylic and crystal awards and promotional products for any occasion. We build and engrave all awards right on site, and we're a leading supplier of varsity jackets for local sports teams. We provide quality customer service and great pricing. Crown Trophy of Flemington is conveniently located in the Staples Shopping Center in Flemington. Crown Trophy of Flemington, we're trophies and a whole lot more.
For over 50 years, Hunterdon Medical Center has been a leader in delivering comprehensive medical and health services to our community. Our staff is committed to providing the highest quality of care to our patients. If you need a physician, we can refer you to over 300 of the best. Call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
Okay, welcome back to the show. It's Talented People. I'm Jeannie Murphy talking to my friend Bart Jackson about his trip just recently to Tasmania. He just got back on Wednesday. It's fascinating. I'm so intrigued. Tell us about the cities, their houses, you know. Tell us more about that.
Well, yeah, actually, I mean, I've made this sound like this very remote outpost. It's not. As I say, there are 500,000 people. Hobart is a large modern city. It's a small modern city. And there's Lawson and there's a few others that are city. And one of the things, the marvelous things, as you walk through all of these towns, no two houses are exactly alike. In the cities, they fill it with Victorian gingerbread. It was the style of when the settlers came to found it, about the 1850s and on, and they just love it. And everyone makes their own, orders their own, and then as you move out of the town, houses become small, squat, and it's almost as if they're apologizing for the effrontery of mankind's moving into this beautifully remote, fabulous place. They are, and I know some people are going to want to ask about the Aborigines. Alas, there are no Aborigines currently on Tasmania. They were killed within 30 years after the settlement. But there's something very 4,000 people still claim descent from them. So, I mean, they're not entirely gone. Mm-hmm. But one of the things that's interesting is imagine, if you will, I don't think it's like this place anywhere else in the world, a group of people, a tribe, living in one island for 40,000 years unmolested before the whites came. Nobody came there. They developed their culture all on their own. And it is an amazing thing to see how these people have done. And there are, so you read in books about what it was like. They would do a rain dance, which was a way of telling where the water holes are. And the dance is very, very precisely repeated, just like you would very precisely repeat giving me directions.
Really?
Right, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
How to get to the New Jersey Turnpike and so forth. That would be, it's the same kind of thing. And it's an amazing people. And some various points of land, the Aborigines burned over. We think, you know, oh, they lived with nature. No, they burned it over to let more animals out. They hunted and so forth. You know, they lived. But in the cities, there is everything you can want.
How many days did you stay in one place?
Generally, we stayed about 2 days in a place. There were six of us. There was, as I've mentioned, Alan and Lillian, Wilson, my beautiful wife, Lorraine. You always need a librarian on a trip because librarians have a wonder. Unabashed wonder at what everybody else does and achieves. They love it. And my wife kept saying, I don't want to miss anything. I don't want to miss anything. And this is, you really need a librarian on a trip.
Yeah.
And then we went with Doug and Sue Henry, they live in Melbourne. They're Alan's cousin, or she is, Sue is. And so they'd never been to Tasmania either. Tasmania is sort of like the Empire State Building.
You know, right, sounds
you're
like
you're close to it, and you never go there until tourists come.
Right,
yeah, right. Well, that's what this was. So the six of us drove around in this van,
for a month,
discovering.
You saw a lot.
Yes, right.
And, tell us about the global warming and the wine, the vineyards.
This is a very fascinating thing. When we were there, they were having a huge heat wave, and so we. It was good that we dropped south. We went to Melbourne originally and dropped south. But we were seeing weather reports in the northern part of Australia that went up to 45 degrees Celsius, 100 degrees plus. And so all the wineries, due to global warming, are moving to the south. So Tasmania's wineries are burgeoning now, and they have done just wonderful things with this. And again, it's that same individual spirit. What do you do when you built your winery and you've set up a little tasting room, you set up your tasting room floor, and everything is right there and ready, and you've been doing this for several years, and all of a sudden brush fires sweep through, which are constant. They are a constant threat, particularly on the eastern side, the dry side of Tasmania. They were just. They swept through, burned your whole tasting room and all their stock to the ground.
Oh, no.
Well, you get if you're in Tasmania, you get yourself a trailer. You put an ad in the local place that you're having a fire sale, and everyone comes out to your winery. And there on the cement slab is this little trailer, and Barbara sits there and serves out an absolutely exquisite Pinot Noir.
Wow.
And so this is... it's all sort of experimenters. There was someone who, Chandon Champagne came there, and they bought one farmer. They said, "You make wine?" He said, "Yep." He says, "What's it like?" He says, "A lot like the region of Burgundy in France." I said, "That's what we're looking for." So he's now making wine with them. Other fellow came in the 70s to called Piper's Cove and makes an exquisite wine. And it's very similar to the wineries of New Jersey. It's all sort of small entrepreneurial stuff. And we had a great deal of fun there.
It does sound like it. And because, you know, you have traveled so many countries, so the fact that you have found so many kind of differentiators with these people there and their culture and your whole trip, what do you think that's from? Just because you had a lot more time to visit?
I think that the people here have an absolutely freewheeling, can-do attitude, coupled with an oh boy, I gotta. You go to, they realize that the new gold in Tasmania is tourism. And so they get together. They were very willing to cohere. It's not me against you. The towns all keep little brochures on each thing. So you have a couple like
Like you were talking about the way they market themselves.
Yeah, like Max and Lorraine Cross. And they were failed dairy farmers. They tried to kill. There's a little bit of, there's a rationale I'm going to tell. This is the American
aspect. Go ahead. I'm on the edge of my seat here.
This is the, so you are a farmer. They all say that America is ruining their farms. And the logic is this. Americans, they say, American government subsidizes all the farms, and American farmers do well. Australian farmers do not get subsidies, and they're doing poorly, and therefore it's America's fault. If you catch the logic of that, you're better than I am, but that's how they feel. You know, it's part of it. But so what happens if you run a dairy farm in there, and you struggle and struggle and struggle, and it's not working? Well, what do you do? In Tasmania, you break out of your prison and you reinvent. And so you go out. And so Max and Lorraine went out and they took a rainforest. They put a trail through it, this beautiful rainforest that I described in the beginning of that survey. Mm-hmm. They took it in and they put just a little tantalizing bit of fairy statues and paintings of some of the wild of the Tasmanian tiger, which is now extinct, but it scares the hell out of you when you're in a rainforest.
Really? And it does.
And then you walk into this exquisitely manicured, another 12 acres of exquisite gardens all made, and then you go sip tea from bone china, and it's an so what they've done is, instead of giving people milk, they've given them beauty and tranquility of soul. And they're doing just fine. And they get themselves in the guidebook. Everyone in the local town supports them. They point arrows to them. They give road signs. And their marketing is so perfect because it's collective. It's
right.
Collaborative. You go to all the national parks. They do something very wise. You come to they're advertised all over. You go to the park, and no matter where it is, even if you're climbing Cradle Mountain, which is a god-awful climb, and it's big and it's fast, everywhere you stop, they have one 15 to 20 minute loop that goes to a falls, a huge tree, whatever, and the eucalyptus trees are second only to the redwood in height.
Really?
But they all take
sounds
you to a
so
place.
Lovely.
They're very clever. They're very,
oh,
and
go
this
ahead.
Is the
yeah.
spirit of the people. And it's because, again, it's the spirit of both pushed need, which is their history, the prospect, and the entrepreneurialism put together, it makes just a marvelous group of people, so something that we can admire and something that I think lay originally in our early American spirit, but it's getting sort of fatted over with professionalism in a bit. And I think that that's something that we could watch and need.
Very interesting. What about, are you planning on going back there again?
I will go back to Australia again. I have people asking me to come back to Tasmania and write a little more and do a little more, and I may do that. I think it would be fun. We're trying to go off to, hopefully next year, to see up towards Sydney and the Barrier, snorkel and dive the Great Barrier Reef.
So great. We'll have to have you back on in between now and then, but when you come back, tell us about how that goes now in comparison. So you have another 2 minutes to share with our people out there.
Well, I think one of the things that I learned, first of all, is that when you travel, you have to keep a very, very open mind. And we all have it, really. What it concerns, you don't open your mind, rather you drop away the fetters that chain you. You say, you know, I always sleep this way, I am from this country, I eat this, the food is different,
tell us
the
people
are different.
Tell us what the food was like.
Well, it's a lot of seafood because they're on, it's like Switzerland, I always say that Switzerland, all of Switzerland is on the border, and all of Tasmania is on the sea, and they bring up prawns and beautiful fish that they fix, and a lot of grilled, and it's great stuff. But it's not, I think the thing is imagine walking through a land where the spirit generally, not everyone, but generally is, why not? Why not do it?
Sounds totally like,
and
just like what a vacation should be.
Yeah, and as I'm laboring over this book, The CEO of Yourself, I see people who say, I'm not worried about how well I'm doing against the next guy. I'm not worrying about, am I filling this box? Do I need more education for this? Because I'm going to pick it up on the fly. I am myself. I live in this land. And there's no slacking because the land is tough. But there's, you are here to take what yourself and turn yourself into not only what you could do best, but what you most enjoy. And that is something that I would wish on every single person listening.
I think you've spent an hour today getting us all onto your philosophy of this, and it's the perfect way to leave everybody with that. It's been just a pleasure having you here today, Bart.
This is always fun.
It was fun. I loved it. I have every vision in my mind of everything, and I hope everybody out there as well. Thank you so much for being here today again.
Thank you, Jeannie. This is wonderful to share a little bit of the fire I've had with a person who has such a spark herself.
Oh, thank you, Bart. Thank you all out there. I hope you enjoyed our conversation today. I really am, like, ready to get a ticket and check it out there. Just want to be keeping up with those type of people who are entrepreneurial, and I can do it and kind of go with the flow and figure it out.
Yes, you can.
All right. Well, thanks again, everybody, for listening, and you guys have a great week.
The news is sponsored by the Hunterdon Medical Center. Hunterdon Medical Center was started by families for families. Inside our circle of care, we offer coordinated care for your entire family, led by our outstanding family medicine physicians and specialists. Hunterdon Healthcare, your full circle of care. If you need a physician, call Hunterdon Medical Center's Physician Referral Service at 1-800-511-4-HMC or visit us on the web at www.hunterdonhealthcare.org.
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
I've been working on this for 20 years. This is exciting. This is what we've been dreaming about doing, and we know it's going to make a positive difference in people's lives in this country.
House Speaker Paul Ryan is touting the GOP replacement for Obamacare.
It repeals the Obamacare taxes, which is...
USA Radio News with Jason Wirt.
We have found the suspect in this inside one of the buildings deceased. We have another victim that is deceased also.
A spokesman for the Irving, Texas Police Department talking about a shooting today at a North Texas college.
Not sure if this is a murder-suicide situation, but the information I've been giving is that the scene has been at least rendered safe to the degree that we're not looking for a suspect.
FBI Director James Comey taking to Capitol Hill to slam the critics who've been attacking him, saying his decision to announce they reopened the investigation into Hillary Clinton's emails swayed the election.
This is terrible. It makes me mildly nauseous to think that we might have had some impact on the election. But honestly, it wouldn't change the decision.
Two more Republicans backing a revised GOP health care bill. Michigan Republican Fred Upton and Missouri Representative Billy Long now say they support the plan to repeal and replace Obamacare. They changed their minds after meeting with President Trump. USA Radio News.
Guys, all day long you hear ads for prostate pills, all promising to end your prostate troubles fast and easy. But how do you know which pills really work and which ones are garbage? The answer is ProstateReport.com. We took every prostate pill on the market, all the top brands, and spent a fortune to have them laboratory tested to see what is really in each brand. The results were jaw-dropping. You'll be shocked when you see what garbage some of the leading brands are really selling you. So go to ProstateReport.com and see the lab reports and reviews the prostate pill companies don't want you to see. Find out which pills really work and which ones are just a big waste of money. This website is already a blockbuster, and right now, this information is still absolutely free. So say goodbye to your prostate problems once and for all. Go to ProstateReport.com. That's ProstateReport.com.
Start me at AMR 1039, 15th at Central Park. Got a kid that fell into the pond. I just got him.
That's audio from the video cam on Topeka police officer Aaron Bulmer as he ran toward a lake to rescue a 4-year-old autistic boy who was drowning.
The video shows a complete rescue of the boy.
I got a civilian that got him out. He fell in the pond, almost drowned. I just got him out.
The child was checked out by emergency personnel and is expected to be okay after Officer Bulmer saved his life. North Korea holding an American teacher on charges of trying to overthrow the government. Professor Tony Kim had been teaching at Pyongyang University of Science and Technology. He was seized at the airport last month as he was trying to leave the country. The state news agency said Kim was intercepted for committing criminal acts of hostility. USA Radio News.
Ah, oh, fresh powder. I'll get the skis.
Ugh, I can't.
Winter.